Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1, these are all shouting verses, so I like that. This is the verse for the, these are the chapters for the Christians right here, I tell you. The Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Jesus Christ, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Ain't that good? Yeah, man, that's good stuff right there. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. How about that? Body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of, that means to slay them, to mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which it shall be revealed to us. Hallelujah. That's good in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know what, not what, we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, then He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. How about that? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, whom all is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You may be seated. God, we love You tonight. We're thankful, God, for Your goodness. Ask You, God, to help us here tonight. Get all Your glory out of this, Lord. You've shown me some things that we've been reading, Lord, and I pray, God, You'd have Your will and have your way. We'll love you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We find some things in this chapter, and I mentioned something this morning that really stuck out to me, and I might not be long tonight, I don't know. I don't have many notes, but there's something that caught my attention, and I just want to praise the Lord for it this evening. Amen. And as we read this, there's three things today that I want to shout on that you and I possess through the Lord Jesus Christ, and three doctrines that could be easily flipped into a wrong manner must be gotten right. Three things that must be gotten right. Maybe you have heard these words: justification, sanctification, and glorification. You probably are. Everybody can agree you've heard the word. Shake your head. Yeah, okay. If you've heard all three of those words, you probably have in some point in time in your life. You've probably heard those three words from a man of God that's been preaching. But maybe you do not know what those words mean. And so these three words should mean everything to you as a child of God. It should mean everything to you. Yet we possess it because we have been through the blood. Through the blood. We've been washed in the blood. And that, I didn't tell J.D. my title or what I was preaching tonight, but he got it just right. So I'm going to preach on this thought: the wonder working power of the blood. That's what I'm going to preach on tonight. The wonder working power of the blood. Now notice a few things as you go through. You'll find there is justification in verse number 1. You'll find that from verse number 2 to verse number 16, it's speaking of sanctification. You'll find that from 16 to verse about 24, you'll find there's something which is called a glorification. Then you'll find on down to verse 31 through verse number 34, you'll find justification again. And through the ins and the outs, you'll find some more things in there. But that's just what the Lord showed me. So I'm going to tell you a few things this evening. I'm going to get out of the way and we're going to go home. Number 1 tonight, we find justification. Justification, if we read in verse 32, the Bible says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." That's what the Bible says. It is God who justifieth. That's who it is. Verse number 30, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified." I've said it many times. I've said the word justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. That's what the Bible tells us there. Thanks be to God for that, friend. I'm glad about it. I'm underlining some things. Lord's showing me some things as we're going. And so as we see this kind of stuff and we see this stuff stand out in our life, what is the word justification? And what does the word justification mean to you? What does it mean to me? Well, let me tell you what the Bible says that it means. This is simple, and I'm just going to preach it fast. Get out of here. We have been saved from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin. Now, I mentioned this morning that there's three parts of salvation. And throughout of Scripture, there's the past tense salvation, there's the present tense salvation, and there's the future tense salvation. There's the past tense salvation, and that's what this is right here. This is past tense salvation. It simply, what it does is it shows us our position in Christ. Amen. Our position in Christ, when we are justified, what that is telling you and what that is telling me is that when we are justified, we are completely forgiven for all of our sin. That means past, present, future, friend. Hallelujah. We're forgiven for all of our sins and clothed personally before God with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Bible said that it was imputed unto us righteousness for Christ's sake. He imputed it into us. Thanks be unto God tonight. He imputed His righteousness into us so that when the Lord looks down upon us, friend, He does not see a rotten, dirty sinner, but thank God He sees Jesus Christ and Him alone. alone. And that's what justification. It is just as if I have not sinned. I've never sinned in the eyes of God when it comes to that. You say, preacher, you're talking about sin. You ain't going to be judged for this sin. None of this kind of stuff. Let me just say this. Once and for all, He was judged for your sins on the cross of Calvary, not your works. Listen, you're going to be judged for your works. But what takes place is that we will not be judged for our sins. Ain't that good? Amen. We ought to be shouting in this place this evening. Amen, friend. You won't be judged for the sin you committed today. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not, y'all know me. I'm not turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. I'm not saying that it's okay to go out and sin. God did not give us liberty to sin. He gave us liberty from sin, friend. That's how God works upon our life. And this happens when we hear the gospel and when we repent of that gospel of our sins, when we repent and we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Justification takes place now. Yeah, man. And can I just say this? It's not, it is a one-time event. Yeah, man. It's a yes or it's a no. In other words, you can't be 30%, 50%, or even 90% justified. Yeah, man. It's an all or nothing deal. Either you're justified or you ain't justified at all. You're justified fully or you ain't justified none. There ain't nothing about it. God forgives us completely. Y'all getting that? I mean completely. God forgives us for what we've done as we've never even done it. It's gone off of our account. And Paul tells Philemon there in the book of Philemon in chapter 1, the only chapter there is in it. He tells Philemon as he's writing him back, he said, hey, I understand that Onesimus has done something. I understand that he's wronged you. I understand that what he has done to you probably made you upset. I understand all that. But what I want you to do is when he comes back home, I want you to welcome him with open arms. And when he gets there, anything that you had ever had hold against him, anything he's ever done to you, anything at all, put that on mine account. Do not put that on him. And that's what Jesus done when he hung on Calvary. Y'all ain't getting this. That's what Jesus done when he hung on Calvary. Is when he hung on the cross of Calvary, he put every single thing that you've ever committed, were going to commit, and ever going to commit on down the road, he put that on his account and judged him for it. As he was hanging on the cross for those 9 hours, friend, for six of them, he was being judged. Well, more than that, six of them, he was being judged by the crowd. Three of them, he's been judged by God for our sins, for your sin, for my sin, so that we could look like somebody. Listen, you might have marks, you might have scars, you might have this, you might have that of your past, but when justification took place, all of that stuff became as nothing to God. Hey man, it's gone. I mean gone. Y'all realize that? Gone. Never to be brought back up. That means a lot to me because I know the sins I've committed. Amen. Amen, friend. I'm glad that it's gone. Our part is only to have faith. It's a free gift given to all believers in Christ, and we do not work for it. We don't work for it. You never work for salvation. You can do all the works that you want to do, but it's going to take nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ to get you into heaven. That's the master key, friend. That's the only thing going to get you in. Our part is only to have faith. We do not have the ability to justify or to save ourselves. We do not have the ability to justify ourselves. Jesus Christ became justified and the justifier. That's what Romans tells. He became the justified and the justifier. That means a lot to me. At the moment that we are justified, we are also adopted into God's family. And become what? Joint heirs. Children of God. Yeah, man, that's what the Bible says in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Yeah, man, there are the sons of God. I wish I could just break down this whole chapter, but I ain't got the time. I ain't got the breath. I ain't got any of that kind of stuff. I ain't got the notes. And the Lord ain't giving me that liberty. So we'll just go on what we got here. But I tell you something, friend, is that when we look at this kind of stuff, that we look at justification, if real, will always lead to sanctification and glorification. I know you might not know what sanctification and glorification is, but we'll get there in a minute. Justification will always lead to sanctification and then glorification. That's just how it works. While we don't work at all for our own justification, amazingly, God calls us to work with Him in leading others to justification. Amen. We do this by sharing the good news about Jesus. You know the word gospel? It means good news, good tidings. That's what that word means. It means good tidings or good news. And through prayer and by example of our lives or whatever it may be, only God can justify somebody. But He does use us to bring that person to be justified with the great gospel that we have today, friend. I'm glad about it. And when people hear the gospel and repent and believe, guess what happens? They're justified. They're justified. It's simple. I hope you're getting what I'm saying about justification. It's pretty simple. But when a person is justified, that work, then the work of sanctification begins in that born-again life. It begins in that born-again life, and it is a fruit that springs from the root of justification. Amen. That's good. Sanctification is a root that springs from justification. It's a fruit that springs from the root of justification. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So this is telling us there that there, because of the justification, because Jesus and what He did on Calvary's cross, He has made the way and He has bridged the gap, and He has made us who were sinful, sinless. That's good. Thank God. Amen. Romans chapter 3 and verse 28. The Bible says right there, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. By faith. That's all it takes is faith. The Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Seems like justification comes through faith. That's what I'd say. I mean, Galatians in chapter number 2. Let me turn over there. Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 16. The Bible says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Thank God for justification. Amen. Justification, I know it's been said in a bunch of ways, but if you spell it out, just as if I had not sinned. Justified. Just as if I had not sinned. I know I've said it many times, but what it's simply saying is that we have been saved from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin, and it shows our position in Christ. Secondly, we see verse 1 through 16 or 2 through 16 there, and I'm not going to read them all. We see sanctification. Sanctification. So if we see sanctification, we'll see some things. And what this sanctification is telling us here, and the word sanctification could also be derived from, could also be led to the word holy, could also be led to the word separated, could also be led to those. But what that is telling us, not only we are saved from the penalty of sin, but we are saved from the power of sin. The power of sin. Now this is a present tense salvation. It's a present tense salvation. It simply shows, as the first one shows our position in Christ, this here shows our position in becoming like Christ. Amen? Our position in becoming like Christ. Sanctification, though, is a lifelong progressive thing. It's a lifelong progressive growth of being a Christian by obedience to God through the power of the Spirit. It has to have that, and it is the process of becoming more and more like Jesus instead of the other way around. Let me just pause and say this real quick. It's that most people today who get saved, who claim salvation, this is what they want to do. They want to turn around and go exactly how they just went. But can I just tell you something? That proves to me that there was not much of a justification process. Amen, friend. Sanctification is a growth like righteousness into righteousness while putting sin to death. That's what that is. That's what we're supposed to do, and we're supposed to put sin to death. It's a consistent thing, but you will grow in the sanctification process, but you will never be perfect in this life. Ever. Our sanctification is often messy, I would say. You know, and we can have times when we take steps forward and yet have days when we do nothing but fall. And you know, but over time, by God's grace, we will make progress. We will make progress. Our sanctification is only possible by God's grace. It's only possible by God's grace. James chapter 4, somewhere around there, it says that He giveth us more grace. More grace. When we need that grace, He gives us more grace. And more grace and more grace. You know, when our spirit-enabled effort has to be spirit-enabled, because when you get saved, when you get justified, when you are saved at the moment of salvation, you are to be filled with the Spirit. You are to be, the Spirit comes and lives inside of you. And that's just how it works, friend. But I tell you, is that as we look at this, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 6, chapter number 5, somewhere around there, I think it's chapter number 6, verse by 18, it says, to be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You used to go crazy when you used to drink all the time. You used to want to dance. You used to want to shout. You used to want to sing. You wanted to do all that kind of stuff. But what happened when you get filled with the Spirit? You ought to want to do the same thing. Amen. Amen, friend. I'm glad about that. And you know, progress. Progress is sanctification. And sanctification is evidence that justification has occurred in one's life. And if we find ourselves in that position and find ourselves in that place of sanctification, then we have been justified, but we got to be careful in what we get caught up in. Because you might take 10 steps forward and then to 18 steps back. But the next time you go at it again, it ought to be 12 steps forward and maybe 6 steps back. You learn. It's a learning process, right? It's a learning process in this life to do that. And when we do that, when we realize that kind of stuff, that our spirit-enabled effort can make sanctification go more forward quickly, more forward. I mean, we'll go forward more quickly. And you know, when we get on this kind of stuff, we'll find that, and oftentimes a lack of effort can cause us to be stuck. Just like the children of Israel. They got stuck in the wilderness. 40 years, 3 days journey, 40 years to get there. That's real stuck in the mud right there. Friend, I tell you is that, in sanctification, we still constantly need grace though. Constantly. I do. I don't know about you. You might be perfect. I need grace. And God gives us the grace that we need in Christ Jesus. In Christ, a huge amount of the Bible is about sanctification though. A huge amount of the Bible is about sanctification, which includes commands to love God. I mean, love others as God loved us. That's part of sanctification. You know, and the new birth is a serious change in the heart of a person, and it ought to. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Sanctification. Remember what sanctification is? We are being saved from the power of sin. We are becoming more and more like Jesus every day. That's sanctification. That's just how it works. And if a person has no evidence of sanctification, then we have the right and duty to question whether they've ever had a work of justification. Amen. I know that's not popular preaching right there, but it's biblical preaching. Amen. J.C. Ryle, he's a great writer. He boldly stated one time, "Tell me not of your justification unless you also have some marks of sanctification." I've said it many, many, many times from this pulpit that if you don't look like you're saved, and you don't act like you're saved, and you don't talk like you're saved, and you don't do the things like you're saved, you probably are not saved. Amen. There's fruits that we bear. And God's gonna do the planting. God's gonna do the pruning. God's gonna do the produce. Everything that God does, He does it in a perfect manner. And when He's working on you, like He's working, anybody ever heard that song, "He's still working on me"? And He's still working on me. He's still working on me, and through this sanctification period, He's still going to continue to work on me. Until He calls me home, He's going to work on me. That's just how it's going to be. But I tell you, if you've ever truly been justified, you will be undergoing the process of sanctification right now. Amen. Thank God. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 19, the Bible says, "I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to the iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." Speaking of sanctification right there. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2 and verse number 12. The Bible says, right there, I'm almost done. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have also always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Sanctification. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse number 3, the Bible says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." It's talking about that. It's talking about the sanctification process. Once saved, always saved, right? You never lose your salvation. But you will start growing through sanctification. It's an absolute thing. So we've seen justification, we have been saved from the penalty of our sin. We see sanctification, we are saved from the power of sin. And that was firstly the justification, it's our position in Christ. Then sanctification is our position in becoming more like Christ. And then lastly we see glorification. Verse 21. Or rather, verse 16, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Amen. Glorification. Thank God. What does that mean? What does that mean, preacher? Well, we were saved from the penalty of sin. We're saved from the power of sin, but now when the glorification process takes place, we're going to be saved from the presence of sin. Amen, friend. Hallelujah. This is a future tense salvation. You know what it shows? It simply shows our expectation of being just like Christ. Hallelujah. Amen, that's good. Glorification is an instantaneous transformation of the believers by the power of God into a perfect moral and physical being eternally living in God's presence. That's what it is. In heaven, in God's presence. In heaven, thank God. You know, it happens when we are resurrected in our new bodies. We will be like Him. I think, let me turn over here and see, I think it's 1 John and chapter, I don't know, but I will find it. You just give me just 1 second. Chapter 3, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." We shall be like Him. He ain't gonna be like us. We're going to conform to His image.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because He's already perfect. Amen. We're going to conform to His image. And that's that glorification process in our lives. And you know, guess what? When we're resurrected in our new bodies, it's going to last forever. Forever and ever. It's going to last forever. All the effects of sin will be erased. Every sin that ever affected our mind, our body, our walk, our talk, everything is going to be completely erased. We will be wholly sanctified and no longer living in sin or even wanting to sin. Amen, friend. Everyone will be loving, true, faithful, kind, good, pure as Jesus is Himself. And there we will ever be with the Lord. That's just how it is. And I'm glad about it, thank God. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me and my Father's house. Are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. And there you may be also is an absolute sense. It's a present tense. It's a past tense. It's a future tense. And guess what? It's a never going to change tense. Because when we get there, we shall be like Him. And we cannot come from heaven back to this wicked world and live like Jesus. Because we would have to be flesh to come to this world. He was fully flesh and fully God. Came to this world as God incarnate. He came here to die for sin in the flesh, because flesh was made by the sin was made by flesh, and that's just how it is. It was made by flesh. It had to be took on by flesh. But the God-man came down and took on this wicked world, lived a perfect sinless life, so you and I could go to heaven and be just like Him. Perfect. Hallelujah. I'm glad that we will be pure and perfect just as Jesus is. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, 17. I read those verses. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 17. The Bible says right there, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Amen. Philippians chapter number 3. Verse number 21, "Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." That's glorification. It's going to be our bodies changed into a body like His. I wish I could explain it all tonight. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 4. It tells us right there, it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Glorification, glorification, glorification. Amen. I like this verse right here, so I'm going to read it. Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. The Bible says, right there, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Until the day of Jesus Christ. I felt as if these three doctrines tonight, these three simple doctrines, stay right there. These three simple doctrines, Mackenzie, stay right there. The three simple doctrines as we have in this life were very important to bring to you folks tonight. Because oftentimes we get very caught up in the things that we hear. Like I said this morning, we kind of went through them. We kind of went through some things. But I felt like it was very important to bring these doctrines to you guys, because these doctrines are spoken of but oftentimes never explained. And you know, it's important. It's very, very important. The justification, the sanctification, and the glorification are very important to the life. It's very essential to the Christian life. God saves us by His grace, right? God gives us His Spirit to help us become more like Him. God will finish the good work that He has begun in everyone who believes in Him. Amen. Just how it works. As Christians, we have been set free from the penalty and power of sin, but not yet from the presence of it. Not yet from the presence of it. We have in the past been set free through the Word of Christ. We have been without and delivered once and for all from the penalty of our sin in justification, right? Everybody getting that, right? We have been and are being delivered from the power of sin in sanctification. We will be set free from the presence of sin in glorification. That's simple, ain't it? Very, very simple. Remember these three words. Remember the simple fact. You were saved from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and one day you will be saved from the presence of sin. That's just simply how it is. If you have trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, the substitute of our sins, in His righteousness alone, in His death and burial and resurrection, then justification, sanctification, and glorification are an absolute for your life. Thank God. Ain't nobody, no, you ain't never going to change it either. It's there, and it's going to happen. One day we'll be like Him. That's glorification. Right now, we're trying to be like Him every day. Listen, you ain't never, God called us to be perfect. Y'all realize that, right? But He knows we ain't going to be perfect. So He sent His Son. He wouldn't have to send His Son if He thought we could be perfect, right? Amen. But He sent His Son so that we could be perfect in His eyes. Literal. I mean, that's good stuff. Thank God. May we all tonight, I'm done. May we all be students of the doctrine. May we all be students of the doctrines of and the distinctions between. The distinctions between these three attributes of salvation. We need to be students of it. We need to continually learn about it and continually grow in that. We need to be students of that. May we repent of and hate sin. Amen. But may we forever give praise to the God of our salvation, whose plan and system of justification, sanctification, and glorification is amazing and perfect to deliver us from our sins. You may stand tonight. That is the wonder working power of the blood. Amen. That was, thank God. Amen.